Hallelujah. A few days ago, I was in the middle of something and I really understand it's so natural as humans when things happen, it just trips us off. And I was so distracted and disconnected because of what I was experiencing. And as the Lord just yield. But how do you yield? Again, it's worship. As I just yielded, the word came, be still and know I am God. And it was not just the word. It was the experience that came with the word. And that stillness, that peace, just took care of everything. So Psalms 46 is so real. There's a little buzz on this. Psalm 46 is so real that, you know, when there is a shaking, when there is a storm, there is a river. God is saying, I am there. I am there. If you can stay in the river, it says, in that river, you will be still and know I am God in the midst of the shaking. So we just thank God for his grace. Amen. Amen. We thank God for his grace and we give God glory for what he's doing. Before we go into what the Lord has, I just want to thank God for everyone that is online, what a family God has given to us, and what a privilege we have to have technology. And when things like this happen, we're able to, again, have a backup where we as family can worship and really focus on God and honor God with the first fruit of our week in worship, in thanksgiving, and just giving him glory for the rest of this week. So thank you all so much for joining. Thank you so much for giving yourself to this moment. And I pray God will meet you in a special way wherever you are today. In Jesus' name. And I called those that were able to normally join us in the floor of the service. So thank you so much for coming also through the weather. Amen. Jesus made a very powerful statement about seasons. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but in the wake of what we're experiencing nationally right now, I just want to say this. In Luke chapter 12, from verse 54 to verse 56, Jesus said something about discerning of seasons. He was saying to the people of that day and saying to, he says to them, when you see the cloud start forming from, the cloud start forming from the west, he says, you know right away there is rain coming. And then he says, when you see the north wind blowing, you know that hot weather is coming. He says, if God has made it possible for us as humans to discern the seasons, he said, how is it that they don't understand the season? He was talking about, he is right there, they prayed for it, he is right there, but they could not receive it. So today we thank God for Weather Channel, you know, and that is able to see things from afar and able to warn us because of the technology. So even now, we have been told to prophets and through many ways, especially through the word of God, we are living in a very uncertain times. And the cloud is forming very clear. And anytime you see the cloud, no matter how small it has formed, there is always a sign that rain is coming. Amen? Storm is coming. So let's take seriously what God has been saying to us, what we've been preparing for, what God has been warning us, so that we are not taken by surprise. We are not taken by surprise. Amen? For example, we have a solar thing in our home. Even though we've had it, you know, as the storm was coming, we're just preparing for it. But I've not rehearsed it. Turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on because of the storm. Now, when the light went off, the solar thing went off. It didn't work because it wasn't rehearsed. Everything was showing the sign there that everything was in place, but it was not rehearsed. It was not rehearsed over and over. If somebody wants to go to a wedding, you don't practice, you don't rehearse, one small thing can throw the whole wedding off. And people start panicking right last minute. So I think God, the cloud is speaking so loud all over the world, especially here. The cloud is forming. And I pray that we see the storm is close. And we need to be positioned. These are some of the things I'll be sharing sometime, maybe not here on the line, because there are some deep and very prophetic things God is revealing will be covering maybe our Sunday night services. But I just want to encourage you to please take seriously the signs of the times and position yourself in the presence of God. Psalms 91. Amen. So, like we've been sharing, there is we've been focusing on worship. We've been focusing on worship. And God is giving us worship as a key for this season. The power of worship. And we've been covering that for the last few weeks. Today, we can stay on worship for the whole year, but we're summarizing. So I want to share very important aspect of worship, and then we'll close on the worship, and then we're going to go into the various topics, the acronym for worship. So if we can have the worship on the screen, we can go for that. We've been going through that word worship, and I've been sharing with you that worship is the key for this year. And we've gone through it. We've looked at different aspects of worship. So now, we have in worship, we have the W, which stands for the Word of God. O, which stands for obedience, ordained with a purpose. And then, of course, we have the word R, redeemed. God has redeemed us for what? We're going to look at what redemption means. It has changed my life in 2025 when God started revealing to me the power we have as people that have been redeemed by the blood. And then, of course, we go to S, which is sonship. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The revelation of the sons of God, you know, is the foundation. We're going to look at that as what it pertains to this season. And H, we are talking about H is heirs of God. Amen. Amen. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we'll look at that. These are the privileges that come from the Word of God. And then we're going to look at I, which is inheritance. You cannot inherit something unless you know your bloodline. And you cannot really have the authority to fight for your inheritance unless you know you are an heir. So we're going to look at inheritance. And the last word is P, the presence of God. Again, that's what worship summarizes. Worship completely restores us to our habitation, Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, which is the prayer. So we're going to cover that through the year, you know, in this season, each of those. Today, I want to just summarize the close, the end of worship. And then we can go from February, we'll start on the Word of God. This is so important. God is not sharing this with us for us to store up knowledge. This is actually a prophetic positioning and preparation, because the cloud is exploding and the storm is almost at the door. So we need to be ready. Amen. So today we are going to read a very long passage, and there's a reason for it. The passage explains itself. And after we read the passage, then we're going to look at a few things about the benefits, the privilege, the breakthroughs, the things that worship does when we yield ourselves to it. Amen? As a key for 2026. So we're going to read, since I was almost going to ask, since Dr. Busola came with Pastor Waller to help with the opening here, I was going to ask her to read it because it's so long. But we're going to go ahead and read it. It's going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read from verse 1 to 25. I want to encourage you, since you're at home, you are well relaxed, it's important you get your scriptures so that we can read this together and really focus and see what the Lord has for us. I believe that this will change our mindset in worship. Amen. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it begins in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hezanophathas, which is in Engedi.'" Verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat feared." Underline that word "feared" in your Bible. "And set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help at the hand of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said," and then he prayed a covenant prayer. He prayed a covenant prayer. And so, after he's finished praying, let's jump. Just when you have time, just read it. It's a covenant prayer where you remind God of things. So let's jump to verse 11. "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do." We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah," is a worshiper, "the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph," meaning he's in the family of the worshippers of Levi. "The spirit came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Verse 15. And he said, this is what the Lord said. Hearken ye, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you then against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zee. And you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, position yourself. Stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. That's the word of God. Then believe his prophets, the prophetic word, so you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and the Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the children of Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the wilderness, and they looked unto the multitudes, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the ground, and none escaped. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, grant us understanding. Amen. Amen. Can you put something on mute there? I'm hearing. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Today, we want to seal the worship with this story. The power of worship. Hallelujah. First of all, as human, As human, we live in this world. And we have the creator, the God of the universe, that has all power. But we are human. And we are his children. There is no human being in this world, as long as you live in the flesh, even when Jesus was here, that will not encounter conflicts, both spiritually and physically, in this physical world. So God understands that. So he's made room for victory in every conflict. So in this situation, we see the king of Israel, the man God has made the head, the one that God has put to represent to the nation, is now facing the battle that kings face. People face, there are different battles we face in life. There are personal battles. There are family battles. There are marital battles. There are battles you face at work. There are battles you face as a leader at work or a leader anywhere. There are battles you face as a pastor. There are battles you face as a ministry head. There are battles you face at different levels. There are battles that mayors can face, that the people, or nobody can face that. There are battles governors deal with. There are battles presidents deal with. So this is a battle that is confronting the nation. And at that point, the head of the nation now has a responsibility. So now he's facing a personal battle that now will affect literally the whole nation. It doesn't matter what that looks to our situation. But what is happening here is, it was the kind of battle that there was a conspiracy, a gathering, a force that he cannot fight in his strength. I don't know if you've been there. There are things that we can fight. There are things we can negotiate with. We can navigate. We try our best. There are things we keep trying. But there are situations that it's obvious you have no way to go, what to do. The moment those situations come, I want to share 5 things for us to look at. Number one, regardless of how small or how big a crisis is or a problem is, the first thing that happens to us as human is fear. It activates fear. Fear. Fear can be paralyzing. Fear can be depressing. Fear can bring confusion. Fear can bring completely detour your whole day, your whole month. Fear is the breeding ground, for satanic assault. Once you start entertaining and entertaining, it's like it opens the door for the floods of things to happen. Fear can paralyze your imagination. It can make you begin to assume things that don't even exist. You begin to imagine things that are not even in the picture. You begin to form opinions and things you begin to think. Before you know it, it has nothing to do even with what is happening. You have conceived a lot out of fear. Under fear, so many things can happen. You can begin to fight battles. All kinds of things. So the first thing is fear. And fear is real. It just depends on the level. Some, it might be death, it might be finance, it might be health, it might be, but fear is real to this human body, to this world. So the first thing that happened when Jehoshaphat received this was fear. Not just fear for his life, But a nation is about being destroyed, and he's in charge. The people are about being destroyed, the economy, everything, whatever it is, he has had the news that trouble is coming. So fear is the first thing. So the important thing to note about this man, fortunately, Jehoshaphat, if you study his background, is a man of God. He's one of the only kings in Israel that he will not make actions or make decisions without seeking the face of the Lord. He was characterized just like David is. Anytime Jehoshaphat is confronted with things, he says, is there not a word from the Lord? Can we seek God? So it's important that we have that lifestyle where, like him, when things come, we know what to do. So he knew what to do. The first thing, fear. As fear came, the first thing Jehoshaphat did was, number two point, he set his face to seek God. He purposed in his heart, this problem can only be fixed by God. There are situations we face, we can make phone calls. I need help. I need this. Let me borrow this. Let me do that. Let me do this. There are ways God has positioned men to help us. There are situations that we can get help in many ways. There's nothing wrong asking or calling. But there are situations where you just know God is the solution. It's not like God is not the solution in other things we do. We pray and God opened doors. But in this situation, Jehoshaphat knew to seek the face of the Lord. And why you know that it's important to seek God? The moment serious fear comes, the first thing you seek God is because he says, this problem is beyond us. We have no help. No man can help us. And he says, our eyes is on you. Our eyes is on you. So, number one, whenever there is fear, regardless of how it comes, number two, set your face to seek God. Seek God. Seek God. How do we seek God? Number three, first you seek God. Seeking God is by prayer, by crying out to God, by going to the Word of God, by crying out to God, by waiting on God, by seeking the Lord. Number three, you also seek God through the Word, through prayer, and then through fasting. He says Jehoshaphat set his face to seek God through prayer and then fasted and proclaim a fast, verse 3. And then he started praying covenant prayer. This number 3, when you are seeking God, when you are fasting, you are supposed to go back to the Word and see the promises of God. And you begin to look at the promises of God in relation to the problem. In connection, there are promises God has made concerning situations in our life. There are scriptures attached to healing. There are scriptures attached to finances. There are scriptures attached to raising children. There are scriptures attached to your job. There is nothing God has not specifically tailored because he cares about our needs. Those scriptures are promises, and those promises, they are covenant prayers when you apply them. So you seek scriptures relating to the thing, the situation, and as you fast and you pray, then you begin to pray covenant prayers. You begin to use those scriptures and to challenge God and to present it before God and to remind God of the promises of what he has spoken, and you begin to personalize those things and you begin to confess those things and you begin to confess them. Actually, what it is God already knows, but God wants you to know and believe what he's promised you. So by praying it and repeating it, actually is building your faith and he's encouraging you. He's helping you to fight the battle in the mind, because the word of God now is helping you over through all the confusion, all the fear. You're using the word as a sword of the spirit. So you're fighting in prayer. Before you know it, God starts speaking those words. Those promises start becoming real. Things start changing. You start trusting. You start believing that word. God doesn't change. But by applying this process, God starts changing, building your faith, strengthening you, encouraging you, empowering you, until then the next thing that happens, in the midst of seeking God, in the midst of waiting in this situation and seeking God, I'm finding peace, I'm pressing through, just like they did, something happens. God speaks to you. God speaks to you. One of the greatest breakthroughs you can ever have when you are in any crisis is to hear clearly a direction from God. A message, a clear word. A very clear word. Very clear, with clear confirmation. Once you receive it, it changes the atmosphere. So, number three is fasting, seeking, and praying. Number four, ask for help. Ask for prayer support. There are situations where you can deal with the situation on your own. There are situations God wants you to just go on it alone. Go further. In our devotion, our Pastor Grace was sharing something with us, how Jesus says, went further. There are situations where you just need to take yourself alone and press in, because you know how you feel. You know what you're trying to achieve. And the disciples were there, but at that time, they are tired. So there are situations you really have to go in and you fight, because you're wearing the shoes. Now, but Jesus first said, I want you to pray with me. I need you. Can you pray with me even for an hour? If Jesus asks for prayer, who are we? There are different people God has brought into my life. I call it preventive prayer, because it's a pattern. We meet weekly or house godless weekly, and we pray always. So even when there is crisis, I present those things to them and they pray. So that's why the Bible says, it says, when two or three shall agree as touching a thing, God will do it. We have a personal calling and relationship. When you press it, it's not everything you call people. There are things you want to experience God. That is already clear. But here, the need required a corporate cry. It required, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Can you imagine what the unity of three can do? The word there is agreement. You know, one or two people that loves you, that cares, that really will carry that burden with you. You don't have to call too many people. Call that one or two or three and say, can you pray with me? Can you agree with me? Can you fast with me? We've done that a lot with different people. And the breakthroughs always come, or the overflow comes. Something happens to carry the person to the next, to the next, to the next. There is power in agreement. So number four, there is ask for support. Ask for people to stand with you. Jehoshaphat did that. Because it's a national crisis and he's the king, he had the privilege, the power that most people don't have. So he was able to mobilize the nation of Judah. He gathered both family, father, son, children. He said, listen, this problem is our problem. Let's fast. Let's pray. and they united, they answered the call. That's why, you know, sometimes like in Mount Zion here, we encourage our leaders, you're leading this body, let's not just, let's unite. Every Monday, let's consecrate a fast. So we've been doing that for years. Let's pray for this house. That's why we have corporate prayer. That's why we do preventive, not crisis oriented. So it's always good to have prayer support, prayer covering, prayer, unified prayer. And even, especially husband and wife. Have your devotion, times to pray, and when crisis come. Amen? So that's number four. Jehoshaphat asks for support. Now, in the midst of this prayer time, seeking God time, fasting, staying in the word, waiting on God, corporately, suddenly, God speaks. God speaks. God gives you a clear GPS, a direction. God gives you a direction. Now, you can see from this passage, Jehoshaphat told the people, he says, believe in the word of the Lord and you shall be established. Believe the prophetic word and then you see the fruit of it. You will prosper. In other words, many people don't obey prophetic words that are clear because they don't stay in the word. If you don't have a fear of the word of God, understanding of the word of God, you will not know when something is really coming from God. Because the word of God bears witness with the word of God, the spirit of God. So it's important to stay in the word, to meditate on the word, to walk, to live in the word, because this is the word of God. So when God now speaks, you know he's speaking. Because the word bears witness with your spirit. So he said, believe the word so that when you hear his voice, you will be able to obey. Amen? So God will give directions. When you are praying for crisis, going through situation, he will give direction. He will speak. He will speak. And when he speaks, that is, I'm telling you, one of the greatest upliftment, breakthrough. Because now you have clear direction. David lived in that most of his life. In the worst crisis, in the greatest crisis of David's life, as a worshiper, he has known all he wanted to do was hear from God. And one of the greatest crises he faced in Ziklag, all he needed was God. I don't have anybody at this time. What do I do? As he was encouraging himself in the presence of the Lord says, you pursue and you recover. How? Your men are depressed. Your people are depressed. Everybody is languishing. You are about to be stoned. And now you want to go to battle. Everybody's tired. The only thing that gave him that inspiration was because he heard from the Lord. It changes. It encourages. And it motivates your team. You have heard from the Lord. Let's go. Amen. Hearing and getting directions from God. Pressing until you hear. Now, when you hear, you obey speedily. If you delay sometimes in obeying, your mind starts telling you, are you crazy? Now, let me tell you what God told him. God says, the battle is going to be mine. I'm going to fight for you and you're going to hold your peace. They were excited. Wow. I'm going to fight for you. You know, people, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to overtake. I'm going to overthrow. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. God says, I will do all the heavy lifting. All I want from you is you don't have to carry a weapon, but worship. I'm sure some of them will pause and say, we are humans. We are humans. We are humans. There are many things that the Lord has spoken for us to do over the years. I will get the news. I will get excited. We all get excited. The moment you now take the steps, the mountains come up. And you're going to hear voices say, don't go that way. Immediately, God says, I will fight the battle. He told them, what you have to do for God to be in control. How do you put God in a position to fight battles for you? And that's why we're focusing on worship. That's the whole key of this passage. That is the whole mystery of this passage. If you want me to fight, then you surrender to me. And surrender to God in crisis is true worship. It's like, you know, when we lift our hands, if somebody wants to shoot you, they want to, you do like this, that's surrender. That's one of the, we worship in many ways, but this is one of the signs of worship. It's I surrender, Lord. Jehoshaphat had been a man that knows the voice of prophecy and understands the word of God. He said, let's do it. He appointed worshipers. He didn't just call anybody to just come and worship. He knew this was a battle. He knew this was a strategic assignment. He has to get people that are called into that realm. See, now he appointed them. He put them in stage. And they are consecrated and positioned for. This is a battle. And they started worshiping. Hallelujah. They started worshiping. They started worshiping. My brothers and sisters, this is unbelievable. As they started moving in the direction of the enemy with worship, it says immediately God released angels. My brothers, you've heard it many times. Angels don't receive worship. The only person that is receive the glory, the praise, the adoration of worship is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's only God. He says he's a jealous God. He cannot share his worship, his glory with created beings, with this, with images. That's how jealous. Not that God, it's just the holiness of God. So he's saying, how can you focus your attention on worshiping me and me coming in your presence, not focus my attention on solving your problem? So when we worship, God releases his servants, angels. He knows the situation. My brothers and sisters, it's not only in the Old Testament. When I started realizing that this is the key of heaven, was when Paul went through so many issues in his life, he will pray. Some gods will say, I'll give you grace. He will fight battles. He will go through things. He will, you know, Paul was a general. He was a warrior. He changed the whole world. He went through all kinds of battles. He knew what principalities and powers and rulers of territorial spirits were. He knew satanic structure. But one thing Paul discovered, when he was attacked by the devil in a very vicious way in Philippi, threw him in jail, put him in stocks, knocked him out, locked him off. Paul said, you know what? I have to use the greatest weapon I have. And he said, Silas, let us worship.
Hallelujah.
Worship is real when your flesh cannot do it. You can't, who will worship God with blood in jail? People saying, you must have done something for you to be going through this. Spirits have conspired and locked you up. You are in the dungeon, beaten, starved, frustrated, wounded. Worship has nothing to do with the flesh. That's why God says, those that worship, they worship in the spirit. It's easy to think worship is when we are celebrating, which is wonderful. But when you know what true worship is, Saul did that. Well, you know what show worship is? That's what Joseph did. To face an army that is bigger than you, to face a problem bigger than you, and God is telling you, just go praising God. It's not human. It's impossible. Because your mind, your heart is telling you, you've lost your mind, you're crazy, you better go find help, look for Egypt, compromise with Assyria, find a way to save your life before they destroy you. So worship can only come from the Spirit. Deep worship. Deep praise. So that's what they did here. When Paul did that, God sent angels. And see what happened in jail. See the shaking, see the moving, see the way God terrorized that city with his presence. And the Philippian church was born. My brothers and sisters, if God did it in the old, did it in the new, you know that Jesus was a worshiper. Yes, sir. Every time it's all about my Father and I, my Father and I, my Father and I. Intimacy. That's where God is calling us. So number five, obedience to God. To the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord requires, number six, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to obey God. Because when some things God will ask you to do doesn't make sense. Now, I've been naming some numbers, but you can number it the way you want. There's just so much here. Before I conclude with some of the benefits that you will see from their obedience and faith. I want to share this testimony with you. There is no way you walk by faith. Your life is literally daily testimony. Because if you walk by faith, basically, you are always trusting God to do things. So it just, that's your life. But so there are some things you share for edification purpose. Right before Christmas, a little bit before, the bathroom where my sister stays at the basement just had problems. We didn't know the problem was there for a long time and just got bad. Finally, just started leaking and we discovered the problem. So as always, when things come up, you don't have money, what do? You look for the cheapest way to fix it. So I was thinking about a handyman. Let me find a handyman that can do it. You know, God gave us this place, so how do you maintain a place like that? So I said, no, I'm just going to get a handyman, let them do what they can, because I didn't have any money for it. So I called a handyman. All the handyman I can say, wow, this is an old house. The way it was built, I don't think we can really fix. I mean, they start describing what they have to go through. So I convinced one handyman, I said, just go ahead. Let's see what you can do. So the handyman, they tried with their kind of equipment. You know, it was a disaster. So while I was contemplating that, while we were there, I remembered worship. So that whole time, all I did about that situation was just, I kept worshiping the Lord. I just kept worshiping. So one day the Lord asked me, while I was trying to figure this problem my way, he said, what do you want? Do you want, if you had money, will you want a handyman or a construction people that are professional, that knows how to do this, to do it? I said, of course. If I have money, I won't call the handyman. I will just use the right person. He said, then call the right people. So I knew that was the Lord. So I went on the phone book and I looked for a construction company. And I found one after prayer and I called them. When I called them, of course, you know what professionals do. They came and they gave me estimates for professional. When I saw the estimate, I was like, wow, I don't have this. I don't think. So I just told them, I'll get back to you. So after I got the estimate, it was something I just can't afford. I don't even have. That's why I didn't call them in the first place. I have the estimate. I went back to worship. I just kept worshiping God. Meanwhile, the handyman kept coming. It's trying to still figure, what can they do? You can tell it's not something they should touch, but one part of me was still giving them time to see if they can figure it out. And then, to cut the long story short, the Lord spoke to me again. He says, these people are the people you want. I say, yes. He said, then it's paid for. I said, how? Listen to this. God, wherever God speaks to you, He's already made preparation for it. God will show you things that your mind is not there in the midst of crisis. Amen? In worship, the Lord revealed to me that I have insurance. I didn't think about insurance. I didn't think about insurance. So I went and looked. I did not know that insurance covers the situation. Hallelujah. Never occurred to me. Never thought about it because I didn't want to use insurance. And the insurance took care of the whole thing. And the people are working with it. And insurance was very kind. And God fixed it. You say, it was a miracle for me. I will tell you another way. God doesn't always have to cost money or cost breakthroughs to come from. He reveals the hidden things. He reveals the secret things. He shows you that He has prepared things for you. Amen? Yeah. Another testimony, I had an impossible situation. I've shared that in details in the past. It was impossible. Like Joseph had, I look to you, Lord. My eyes are on you. So I fasted, followed all these instructions, followed all this process. I fasted, waited for 7 days and kept going. And finally, just like Jehoshaphat, the Lord spoke. And He gave clear instruction. Clear instruction. I came out from the mountain, followed the instruction. And one miracle after the other. And that miracle took place. Amen. So these are not assumptions. These are things that God is speaking to us, especially in 2026, for us to use worship as a key to not only becoming intimate, but also finding breakthroughs. Now, what are the benefits? We talked about first, the things we deal with when we have problem is fear. We all deal with it. When we have fear, number two, we seek the face of the Lord through prayer. And in prayer, number three, we seek the Lord through the word, through prayer, through fasting, while we're waiting. Number four, we ask for support. Prayer support. Where two or three people you trust agree. Number five, wait to hear clearly directions from the Lord. Number six, obey speedily. And now, here are the benefits, the breakthroughs that came from 2 Chronicles 20 that comes from all these things. Number one, God changes your situation. God takes what the enemy meant for evil and starts turning it for good. God changes the atmosphere. Number two, God said, I will fight for you. So how does He do it? One, He protects you. How did they manage to go from point A to point B praising God? They were protected. Protection. When you worship God, you are protected. Psalms 91 says you are under His covering, under His shadow. In other words, you are under His surveillance. Number three, Number one, change. Benefit. Two, protection. Three, provision. The Bible says when they got to the place, this was a battle you didn't ask for, but now it's a battle you have to fight. Now they got to the place because they obeyed God and they worshiped God. What happened? God takes what the enemy meant for evil and make you a rich person. They had 3 days in collecting the overflow of breakthrough. That testimony, some of these testimonies I skipped really fast. The last one I shared, I can't tell you the doors it opened. I can share many, many testimonies to you how crisis, it's just like some of these trips we want to go, some of these plans, these missions we're thinking about. The way about is always by faith. And the way God works it is always miraculous. If you look in the flesh, you fight it. Faith is a walk by the Spirit. So now, God fights for you by changing the situation, by protecting you too, by making provision three. You can see it in this. And then God defends you. You know, they were going to war with praise and worship. And God was their defense. And then, five, obviously God fought the battle. How do you know God fought the battle? You all read it? It says, this group, and this group started fighting themselves. The children of Ammon, they started fighting themselves and fighting themselves. And he said they fought themselves until they killed and not one escaped. Wow. Not one. You did not raise one foot. You did not shoot one bullet. You did not carry one machete. You did not carry one spear. But your enemies were on the floor. That's when God fights your battle. It's not easy. We like to fight ourselves. There are some things I want to defend myself. I want to justify myself so much. God said, no. Trust me. But while you're trusting God, it looks like you're sinking. But when God lifts your head above the water, you know he fought the battle. God will fight your battles when you worship him. So today, as we conclude on the power of worship, this is just a summary of a key that people through history has used to build relationship and to establish the kingdom of God by faith anywhere they go. So I pray as we go into 2026, you take this key seriously. To establish an intimacy with God first and let it be a key for you to deal with fear, to deal with conspiracy, to deal with all kinds of things that will come against you. Take this key. Again, to conclude, fear, one, two, seek the face of the Lord through fasting prayer, three, always ask for support when you can. Get directions from God. As you wait on God, obey speedily. And then trust God to change the situation. Be your protection. Be your provision. Be your defense. Fight your battles. Let us pray. You are the mighty God, the great I hallelujah, 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 ondo belekasa, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Father, hallelujah. Mondo celebada. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Mascaribados. Father, you know the end from the beginning. You know what is before us in this nation. You know what is before the nations of the earth. You know all this. You're calling us to realign ourselves with the awareness of your glory, the awareness of your presence. Father, draw us back to you. Deliver us from our strength. Give us the grace to live a life of dependency and trust in your presence. Teach us to wait on you in our closets and even when we come together. Together to wait in worship and to listen to you. Give us the grace to know your word. So when we hear your voice, we'll obey you. Father, we thank you that you will cause us to walk and to inherit and to walk in the breakthroughs and the harvest you have for this season. Let this key of worship give us testimonies beyond our expectations. Fight our battles as we surrender to you. For you are our provider, our defense,
yes,
our refuge, our fortress, our GPS. As we surrender to you in worship, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Go before us into the rest of this year as you teach us your word. You reveal your word to us. Father, you will speak to us what it means to obey you and to be ordained with your purpose. Help us to know why you redeemed us. And reveal, open our eyes to know who we are in you. As your sons, heirs of your kingdom, called to walk in divine inheritance and to live in your presence here and the rest of our life for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Oh, hopefully we'll look forward to see you next Sunday in person. Amen. Give God glory for your lives. Amen. Please continue to pray for the nation in these moments of confusion. Amen. We're going to throw the announcements now. Yeah. Thank you, Abby.
Happy Sunday, family.